Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to The Art of Image. I'm Dan Phillips. This program is focused on personal image development. These shows will discuss topics ranging from custom tailoring to business attire to communication and everything in between. Stay tuned. This is The Art of Image.
Joining us here in foggy San Francisco. It's October 24th, 2010. Today on The Art of Image, we have a very special show, a show that I think is going to touch the hearts of a great number of people and really inspire them to change their lives. On the show, we have Parker Geiger, leading image expert and CEO of the Shuva Group, and Penny, a high-level executive from the Midwest, who is here today to share her personal story with body image. Welcome, Penny, and welcome, Parker.
Hi, Dan.
Thank you.
I want to thank both of you for your courage in sharing your personal stories today. And now let's start with our first question. Penny, I understand that you had feelings of unhappiness and have said quite candidly in a brief bio before the show that you were in an ever-increasing downward spiral. I wanted to know where the unhappiness had its roots. Was it because of your weight, or were there other issues at hand?
That's a great question. I think that typically, weight is a symptom of being unhealthy, I guess, in whatever form that may take. And for me, that was being overweight is a symptom of something larger in your life. And I found that to be true. I had struggled with weight as a child. And as I grew older, I started to understand part of the reasons why I struggled with my weight and what my family dynamic was and how that impacted me, and that food was a way for me to feel better about those things. And as I got older, I got into, after being married for many years, starting to realize just a couple of years ago that I wasn't in the healthiest of situations, both physically and relationally. And so I think that there, at the core, to answer your question, is for me was about my self-image, who I was in the world, and what I wanted to be, and there was a big gap between those two things.
Mm. Okay, so there was a disconnect then between what you, your feelings inside and your outward appearance. Is that would that be fair to say?
Absolutely, the outward appearance and the health factor are absolutely intertwined.
And Penny, let me ask
now,
you this.
Penny, what, go ahead, I'm sorry,
Dan. I was just curious as to, as a child, you know, I myself was overweight as a child, and I was always teased and, you know, and ridiculed. And even when I had lost all of my weight, and I had lost about 75 pounds going into college, I still saw myself as, you know, overweight. And until I changed that self-perception and realized I was now thinner, so it was a mental thing for me. Was there a process, and it still is today, I mean, I still am very aware of, you know, what size clothes I buy, looking in the mirror, does this make me look fat, which is the most common thing I think all of us ask. But was there a perception change for you as well, as opposed to just a physical change?
Yeah, actually, I'm still going through it, and I'm still losing weight. So it's an interesting, my mind's perception of who I am, and then who I see in the reflection is interesting because it's changed so much now I almost don't recognize myself. In fact, a lot of my friends say they don't recognize me when they're trying to find me in a crowd of people or in a group of people. They're like, I never can find you anymore. I used to be able to find you easily. But it surprises me, actually, when I look in the mirror. And I'm happily surprised, but I still have a ways to go for my inner perception of how others likely see me and how my image impacts them was always a very negative thing. And now it's much more of a positive thing where people are, I think, attracted, you know, the law of attraction attracted to me just from a positive standpoint. And before there was either no attraction or no connection. And now people, when I walk in a room, connect with me. And I think a lot of that has to do with just outward image.
Very interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, Penny, you're a high-level executive. And I wanted to know, what were the challenges at work and in your career with regards to your weight and your perception of your weight and how you felt it was that people were viewing you?
Well, it's a struggle because Parker worked with me years ago, not at my heaviest, but on my way up there. And you spend all your time trying to cover yourself up. I spent a lot of time and effort from a image standpoint, clothing, makeup, hair, everything, just trying to not be noticed. And that definitely has an impact on your professional image because in the professional world, you're trying to get noticed. So you're trying to get noticed for your work, clearly. But when you stand up in front of a group, which I do, a large part of my time is spent standing up in front of rooms of executives and team members and all kinds of things around the world, and I have to have a certain level of confidence. And what I was able to do is somehow fake it. Like I literally knew that I was on stage, and I would almost play the role of someone who was a confident, you know, strong, happy body image person. I would just absolutely fake it. And one guy that taught public speaking once said, you got to put your boots and spurs on when you walk out on stage or walk in front of the room. And I would literally do that. I would put this kind of this mask on that said, you know, I'm a great person. People want to hear what I have to say. I look great. I feel great. And I would just, you know, take the front of the room and go about it that way. But it was probably the biggest acting role I've ever had, because inside it was absolutely not the case. But I was able to, you know, muster up enough strength to do it, to get through it. But I know that it impacts your ability to be seen as someone who's capable. Even though your work is good or excellent, it's still, I think, people have that perception that you don't have control over that in your life. Do you really, are you able to have control over your work situation and your work product?
Well, that's interesting, because what happens is... I'm sorry, Dan. I was just,
yeah,
you know, if I'm relating so much to what Penny's saying, it's amazing how people react or respond to you with the look, not just the weight, but the body typing, the clothes, everything. And it's such a unfortunate world that we live in, a judgmental world, because we do, you know, we perceive if someone's dressed sloppy, we perceive their work to be sloppy. And you just made a great point. It's like, if you don't have control of this, do you really have control of what you're doing for me? Is that what you're saying, Penny?
Absolutely. I think that's the honest truth. At least in the United States, it's slightly different, I've found, in other parts of the world. But definitely in the United States, we're very image conscious. And I think there's a closer connection that folks bring in the U.S. to your body image and your professional competencies than there are in other parts of the world.
Very interesting. Sorry about that, Dan.
Now,
go ahead.
no problem at all. Now, I was wondering about, I read something, once again, going back to that brief bio I had read about you. You made a statement in that bio about being on a plane and seeing the reactions, really, from some of the other passengers as you walked by, and seeing that fear, I guess, in their eyes, thinking that perhaps you might sit in the chair next to them. And I just thought that was very, just a very touching comment. I wanted to know how how did you handle negative reactions like that?
I just internalized it in that I understand I understand that. I can't fault them for that because, yeah, it is uncomfortable to sit next to somebody who's taking up more than their portion of the seat. I understand. And it is something that I have control over, and I'm clearly not being able to manage it. So, you know, part of you wants to say, and I've been through phases in my life where I just say, well, they're just not very kind or they're not very understanding or they're rude. But in reality, now that I've kind of had a few years of understanding and acceptance, you know, it is an imposition that I am putting on them. And I think the looks on their faces, and they don't even mean to do it, but the looks on their faces when they see you coming down the aisle and they just don't want you to have to sit next to them because they know it's going to be uncomfortable for them, it makes your heart drop, and it just reminds you. It's almost like you're seeing yourself reflected in someone else's eyes, the disappointment, or, you know, and it's tough. It's tough to have that. That's the kind of feedback that you get from the world, and it's hard.
Penny, do you, when you are sitting on a plane now and someone comes in that's overweight and they're coming towards you and sitting next to you, how do you react or respond to them now? How do you handle that?
Whenever anywhere it is, no matter where it is, I have such empathy because I know that there's something that's not fulfilled in their life and that there's a gap between who they really are as a person and what they're supposed to achieve and fulfill in their life's purpose, and they're not there, and they're trying to fill that void with food, and I know exactly what that feels like, so my heart goes out to them. But, you know, it's tough. I always want to be able to say to them, I was where you are, but it's never necessarily the right place or time, and a lot of people aren't open to the message. They're in their own struggle and their own battle within their own self, and sometimes, you know, the message or the time isn't right to share that with them. But I absolutely have complete empathy because I've been there, and, you know, I've been on this journey for a year and a half. So it's, you know, it's not like it was many, many years ago here. I just am emerging, and I'm still on my path of getting healthier and healthier. So,
wow, interesting. Because I did the same thing. I almost go out of my way to accommodate folks that are overweight because I'm like you. I know how they feel. I've been there, you know, and I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable at all, especially like on a plane or tight places.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm very accommodating with them.
So the one thing that you know, people don't realize that have never been big is that the things that go through your head when you're a big person, like, will I be able to fit in the chair? Because different planes were configured differently based on the year that they were built.
Right.
And some of them are very narrow, and they don't have the arms don't come up, so you can't even mush into the seat next to you. And so you wonder if you're actually going to fit. Sometimes if you're invited over to somebody's house and you sit in a chair, you wonder if the chair is going to break and how embarrassing that would be because it might be an antique, and you choose your seat very carefully. And those things other people who've never been heavy don't understand, what goes through your head because you're just trying to exist day to day and not have it be the theme of your life. Unfortunately, it is the theme of your life because it affects you from when you wake up to when you go to sleep at night and through the night. I had sleep apnea. I didn't sleep well because I was overweight. Now that's gone. But there's so many things that affect you on a, you know, minute-to-minute basis that people who have never been in the situation don't understand.
Wow. A good point.
Now, Penny and Parker, at times we have heard, you know, women complain about the media and how it is built and how it promotes these unattainable female body images, you know, images that have caused to a great extent feelings of inadequacy, dissatisfaction in a good number of women today with regards to their own body image. And I believe there's a statistic floating out there right now that says that 53% of women are unhappy with their body by the age of 13, and that by the age of 17, that number skyrockets to 78%. Would you say, Penny, that it's primarily the media that impacted your personal self-image?
Absolutely, and I was growing up in the 70s and 80s when I developed my body image, and it was about being thin. That was Twiggy and Farrah Fawcett, to date myself a little bit. But if you think about it, it was a it was a big deal to be thin. And one of my earliest memories, I think I must have been 6 or 7 years old, was a little boy that I just adored that was a friend of my brother who was 1 year older than me. And he said, "I'll marry you one day if you eat yogurt for the rest of your life."
Wow.
Yeah. And I thought, and so that was the first, like liking a boy and a boy interacting with me on that level was, wow, okay, so I have to be skinny to be married to him,
yeah,
or, you know, anybody at that point. So it's really interesting. It's just, and again, it's much worse in the United States. It's much different here than it is in other places of the world. Now that I've been able to travel internationally a good amount, other countries are so much more focused on health. And we're very much focused on image of just being thin. It's a fascinating difference, and it's very unhealthy in this country. I think that, you know, I grew up with Barbies, and Barbies are an obviously almost impossible body shape combination. But girls now have a little bit more realistic toys to play with, which is a great thing. And I think there's a lot more effort being paid to try and combat the media. But the media is still out there doing its job.
Interesting.
And, you know, what was the turning point in your life? I mean, that really took you from being the victim, so to speak, to the person in control of your life. What was the motivating force that you have? Was there a program that you were involved with? What did it for you?
That's a great question. It was a multitude of things. I think it's the straw that broke the camel's back. There were many straws that broke the camel's back. They all added up. One was I was having a lot of health problems, and they were coming from all angles. And I was spending, at age 42, which is really young to me, I was spending more time in doctor's offices next to people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s than I could imagine, and I couldn't believe it. And it was one thing after another after another, and they started piling up on top of each other, and the number of medicines that I was taking was going up and up. And I was always proud before that I didn't take any. And what I realized was I just wasn't going to the doctor to find out that I should have been on medicines earlier. But so the health component was really big. Another main component was I enjoy traveling as part of my job, and traveling was getting really difficult. So when I would get off the plane, my legs would be so swollen, and they'd stay swollen for days. So my heart was just doing its very best to pump, but I wasn't helping it out much by having all that extra weight for it to work with. I would get up to go from my my desk to go to a meeting, and I would get dizzy. Going from one meeting to the next. So one day I got on the airplane, and it was everything I could do to get the seatbelt clamped without adding an extra, asking for an extension, and I just said, I can't do this anymore, because I won't be able to travel pretty soon if I keep going in this direction, which I was. So that, plus deciding I wasn't really fulfilling my purpose as a person, and there was more that I should be doing, but I was starting to limit my ability to do those things, to help other people, because I couldn't help myself at that point.
So was it, did you get on an exercise regimen? What was it that really got the weight down, though?
Well, I signed up at the gym at work, which I had always been uncomfortable working out in front of people that I work with, because at the executive level, it just feels funny to have people see you in another light. But finally, I got over myself and decided, if I'm going to do this, I have to not worry about things like that. I have to worry about me. And so I joined the gym at work, and I started working out religiously. And there's a quote that I absolutely love by Goethe, which says, "It is at the moment of commitment that the universe conspires to assist you." And I absolutely believe that's true, because in February of 2009, I made that commitment, and things started to happen to support me. A friend of mine had lost about 40 or 50 pounds, and she became my workout buddy, and we made our schedules fit to be able to work out together so we could support each other. Then I have had a series of just encounters with, whether it's professionally or personally, people who in one way or another supported my efforts and helped give me a self-esteem boost when I needed it, an energy boost when I needed it, support and counseling from friends, and just deciding that you know, it's tough when you're really big because the first 20 or 30 pounds nobody can see. And here you're working so hard and you get 20 or 30 pounds off and nobody even notices.
Wow.
But you start to slowly notice on your own that I'm starting to feel a little bit better. Can't quite tie my shoelaces yet, but I'll get there. And little by little, it started. People started to notice. My face looked a little bit different. My clothes started to get loose, and I actually started to need new key pieces of clothing. And so, just the success breeds more success, and I was able to just keep playing on those things that came and went in my life that helped just continue to propel me forward. So I'm just absolutely blessed to have interesting people and situations happen. I ran a 5K, and that I never thought I'd do in my life. I ran it, but still, that was a big different milestones. Just make a huge difference in that whole process of constant, continued reinforcement that you're doing the right thing. You're starting to feel better. You know, I'd go see my doctor and get my blood work done. My cholesterol went down by 80 or 100 points, and things like that. Measures really help. But I didn't focus on the weight numbers, by the way. I barely ever weighed myself, maybe every 3 or 4 months.
Interesting. What about, you know, you talked about clothing and stuff. Like when you go shopping now and buy clothes, Penny, how is it different now than it was before?
Well, while they're doing a lot more now with larger clothes for women, size, you know, 18 and up, in the past years, the offerings were just awful. Everything was like tent clothes, you know, just really big and boxy and nothing that had you look like any kind of shape of a woman other than a big square or round thing. So in the last few years, designers have started to enter that market, which is great. But there's still, for me, a very limited supply of good professional-looking clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And once I hit the 16, I can't tell you how excited I was because I was able to actually shop in regular size clothing, and it was the different. I just explained it to somebody the other day. It was like walking into Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and going from black and white old England to this beautiful, colorful world of, you know, flowers and all kinds of things that I could see, and I had never really been able to. I never even walked on those floors before because I knew I couldn't wear any of that. So all of these options were just. It was like opening up a whole new realm of clothing, which actually Parker helped me navigate.
Interesting. And did you find that with the new clothing that you have now, and with your self-image, you're starting to see in the mirror what you feel inside? Do you feel that the clothes are helping bringing that forth more? As opposed to before, you said you were covering up. Do you feel like the clothes are being more an expression of who you are and communicating what you know and who you are kind of thing, as opposed to just covering things up?
Absolutely. The fun has been that the clothes have been able to accentuate my positives instead of I spent all my time before trying to cover up my negatives.
Mm.
Does that make sense? So
absolutely.
Being able to find things that accentuate those things that I've thankfully been gifted with that are positive aspects physically of myself has been a really exciting thing to do. And an interesting side note is because I've been heavy so much of my life, I never really knew what my true body shape was.
Mm.
And so as I start to lose weight, the last time I was really thin, I was 14 years old, and that was before I really had the shape of a woman, hips and all that. So it's interesting. It's almost like a chiseling away at a sculpture where I just keep, as I continue to lose weight, I continue to see, wow, I guess I have curves. I guess I have, it's interesting to kind of really understand this is who I am underneath. I never knew because I've never been a truly healthy me before as a woman.
You know, growing up, Dan, I grew up in Florida, in North Florida, and
uh-huh.
It was, you got the four seasons, but the summer it's hot. And I would always wear a coat, whether it was a members-only jacket, and now I'm dating myself as a teenager, but I always wore a coat of some sort in the summer. And like Penny,
uh-huh.
I was covering up. And even when I lost my weight, I still wore that coat in the summer until that one day I realized, hey, you don't have to do this anymore. And that took a couple years to get to that point. Because I think a lot of times I think people that, and in my business and industry, I'm working with people all the time. Yes, I'm dressing people, but I'm really working with those self-esteem issues is what we're really working with. And what I've noticed over the years in working with people that have weight issues is that they really are always covering up. And like Penny said, even, I don't know how to dress this body that's not really my true body type, you know. And then, of course, the fashion industry doesn't help out much. Like Penny said, they're getting better, but, you know, they got a long way to go. So it is it's a mental trip. And I think also, Penny, you hit on something that's really critical for people to understand. The list for the listeners, for those who are never been overweight, do not be judgmental about people. Don't look at them and judge them. Look at them and see what can you do to make their existence in that environment easier for them. Because you never know what people are going through. You know, for Penny, she was eating food. For me, I just kind of was just kind of always heavy set as a child because I didn't play a lot of sports or anything like that. But, you know, everybody has their story of some sort. So I would hope that the listeners who have, because I've got friends who are thin, have always been thin, and they're health nuts, and they're a little judgmental. You know, I'll walk in and they'll say, oh, you put on some weight. And I'm like, I don't need to hear that. And it was 5 pounds, maybe 10. You know, instead of saying, hey, how are you? Look great. First thing out of their mouth is, oh, gosh, you put on some weight. I hadn't seen them in 8 months. It doesn't do a whole lot for building a person's self-esteem, you know.
Yes. Now, that's just wonderful, you know, having accomplished this and having overcome, you know the weight and doing that, seemingly it sounds as though you were able to do that relatively easy, but I'm sure that there were some hiccups maybe along the way, and I was wondering what exactly were the challenges to the transition?
Certainly to keep the momentum, especially when you get sick and have a cold and you don't feel well and you get out of your routine that you're in. It can take a little while to get back, and that was always something. I think the other thing is, you know, allowing yourself the chance to not have the best. There's always plateaus, and everybody talks about them. Boy, they're frustrating. But to allow yourself to have that and be human. I've been losing about a pound a week for about a year and a half or so. And some weeks I don't lose any. And other weeks I'll lose a couple of pounds. But it depends on kind of what's happening in life. I mean, you know, life continues to go on. And there are things that aren't great about life and family and health issues with family members and people you have to take care of. And, you know, so you can't 100% always be focused on yourself. It would be great if we could. So I think it's part of the challenge is the blend of that, is that life continues on and you have to fit your new lifestyle and your new routine and your new focus on yourself and your eating. You have to fit that in to a life that didn't focus on that at all before. So you can't just pick up food on the fly. I've got to have food with me always, nuts and berries, power bars, you know, things that I know are okay and healthy for me so I don't go into a low blood sugar moment. Otherwise, I'll grab anything around me, and that's a bad thing. So a lot of planning goes into it, and I think giving yourself a break and the courtesy of knowing that you're human, and then, you know, seeking out friends. I can't tell you how supportive my friends have been, whether it's been my workout buddies or it's been people who've gone through this before or are going through it at the same time I am, that just love me and want to see me healthy and want to see me happy. And my friend the other day said that she would never take for granted how much work I've put into this and how happy she is for me that I am a healthy, much healthier person than I've been before, because she was terribly worried about me, you know. So you don't. The other thing you don't realize is how worried other people are about you when you get that unhealthy.
It really,
I suppose that's a motivator as well.
It became a health issue, right? I mean, it really became where it's one thing, okay, I think I'm fat, I've gained 10 pounds, but when you get to a certain point, it does become dangerous.
Absolutely. You know, so many people worried about me that knew that they couldn't tell me that. And so there were, for example, my father was, I saw him about 2 months ago, and he actually cried and told me how proud he was of me. And he was so worried about me. So, but he never had said that before because he knows it was just such a sensitive issue and I was struggling so hard. But he was so worried about my health.
Interesting.
Now, Penny, unhappiness and unhealthiness were, you know, a part of how you were feeling, and these feelings obviously were contributing to your perception of having, I guess you could say, a bad life. What was your perception of a good life, and did that perception change at all now? Has that, those ideas of what you thought or you felt was a good life, have those feelings changed?
I don't think so. My perception of what a good life is being able to be healthy enough to to fulfill my life's purpose, help people. That's why I'm here. And if I couldn't do that, that was a travesty almost. So what a good life is being able to have that ability. And I'm so happy. And as I feel better, I'm still continuing to feel better all the time. I feel like I'm closer to closing that gap between, you know, how I feel and what I can actually accomplish during my lifetime. So that's just a big part of, I guess, the journey. And a good life to me is still a good, healthy life with healthy relationships and helping others, doing the best that you can to be a good person and to make positive, have some kind of a positive impact in the world. So.
Now, I wanted your ideas on this. There's a book out. It's written by Bronwyn Marmot called The Food is a Lie, The Truth is Within. It's a book that's received quite a bit of praise recently, and I think primarily it's gotten that praise because of its very interesting premise. The premise essentially says that once you've accepted your weight and have gotten to a place in both, you know, your mind and heart, that can say to yourself, you know, that you love yourself, that you accept yourself as you are, that suddenly, you know, those feelings of unhappiness will wash away and that the weight begins to drop off. What are your thoughts on that idea? And would you say that that's somewhat similar ideas to what has happened to you? Or was there another mechanism that brought you to the place of healing that you're at now?
Well, I can tell you that the self-loathing does nothing but take you further down that downward spiral, and I experienced that for so many years I don't want to recall. So the hating of my own body, literally, I hate my body because it's not doing what I want it to do. It's working against me. Every time I try and lose weight, I'm not losing weight, you know, because of how it's functioning. And so my body was my enemy. So I think to get to a new place where you don't hate yourself and you actually start to listen to your body, then you can, I think, reach a point where losing weight is not the focus. What's the focus is being a healthy person and understanding why do you eat in the first place. Janine Roth has a book called Women, Food, and God. I think Oprah talks a lot about it as well, and it's, I think that's the premise of that book understanding what is the void you're trying to fill when you eat, because eating is something that you do to nourish your body. But when you get to a point where you're eating to fill a void, not to nourish your body, it's not what it's about anymore, then you get into a whole new realm. So I think understanding that underlying component is key to figuring out and deciding now's the time that I'm going to move forward and not use food as something to comfort me, but instead as something to nourish me. So I've gone through a really interesting journey of trying to listen to my body, which before I was angry with and shouting at figuratively. Now I'm actually listening to it, and it's an interesting dialogue once you can actually open yourself up to listen to what your body wants, whether I feel like exercising or not that day. If I don't, chances are I might be coming down with something, and I have to respect that and listen to it. If sometimes I'll get home at night, and one night all I wanted was broccoli. I don't know why, but obviously the nutrients in broccoli was what I needed. So broccoli. And funny, when you get off of the fats and the fried foods, you don't crave that anymore because that's not what your body wants nutritionally. That's what it wants as a matter of addiction. But if you can get off of that and you can really listen to what does my body want, it tells you when it wants protein, when it wants fruits and vegetables and what vegetables it wants. It's kind of a fascinating dialogue if you open yourself up and open that line of communication up enough. And it was so closed with me for so long, and I was at such a war with my body for so long that no wonder I was at the point I was at.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
I was wondering if you had anything. Yes, absolutely. And I was wondering if Parker, since his experience is a little bit different in that as a child he had an overweight problem. I was wondering if that was a similar experience. How did you overcome your weight issue as a child?
It was a defining moment one day when I decided I was not going to let other people define my self-worth. And that was real clear because I was allowing all the external messages, you know, I wasn't going within. That's why I really got into this business. And this is why I believe that I'm very helpful with my clients, because I've been there, I've done it, I understand. You know, I've seen people in my industry just tear people apart, you know, and you can't do that. You can't motivate people. You know, if I'm sitting there saying, you got to lose weight, we can't do this size dress anymore, you know, I can't work with you until then. I mean, that's just not how it works. You know, everything's evolving. But I remember one day someone said something to me that, you know, going back to what I said earlier, said, wow, you're lucky you gained some weight. And I said, well, I've actually lost about 75 pounds. I feel pretty good about myself. I had to take the power back. See, I was giving my power away. And I think a lot of times what people do with the weight issues, we give our power away. We give our power away every day as human beings. And that's where I think where low self-esteem comes from and things of that nature, that we allow other people's opinions. When you can look at media, you can watch the TV and all that, but it's just hype. It's just marketability. It's selling something, you know. You have to look at the reality of it. So for my pivotal moment was really just keeping my power, keeping my own counsel, going within. And I think the second one was really changing my self-perception, because even though I was wearing a 30-waist jean again, you know, well, I never did, and when I got into it, you know, even though I lost all the weight, I still saw myself as 70 pounds heavier or 60 pounds heavier. So when I started realizing what I was seeing in the mirror was reality now, so that shift of consciousness and what the reality really was, and I had to get rid of that old memory, that changed a lot too, because you start seeing yourself differently. Right, Penny? I mean, you start seeing yourself differently now, so you start acting differently, being different, right?
Absolutely, and it's completely reflected back on you. The difference when I walk into a room full of people now than it was 2 years ago is night and day.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Very interesting.
So it's really removing or trying to remove those negative feelings about yourself, getting to, I guess, as a foundation point to being able to move ahead and to really solving the problem. Would you say that that's a fair statement to make?
For me, absolutely. Yeah, having you know. To think of yourself from a positive side of what do I have that is what's good and special about me. A great example is when I started about 6 months or 9 months before this, I started this last effort. I had started and I had from a very negative place, and so I started working out, and it was kind of like, I'm going to get this body going no matter what it takes me. And so I worked out and I worked out, and I was like angry about it as I worked out, and I was watching what I ate, and I was so disappointed 1 week later when I had gained a pound, and then another week later I had gained another pound. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. Here is, you know, again, I was at war with my body. So I wasn't working with it. I was working against it. And what's interesting is I learned, and I was angry about it at the time, that I build muscle quickly. I am from good, hearty stock. And so and I hated that, you know, because I build muscle, and it made me, you know, because I was working out so much, I gained weight on the scale, but I was actually losing fat and gaining muscle, but that's not what I was focused on. I was just focused on the numbers on the scale. And I was angry at, again, something that was actually a gift, which is my body builds muscle really well. So this time around, I said, I'm not going to work against my body. I'm going to work with my body. And if I build muscle well, then that's great. I'm going to go ahead and build muscle. And I'm not going to look at the scale. I'm just going to look at my body shape over time and the size of my clothes, just, you know, and things that will tell me how I feel and will be my indicators rather than going at it the same way that I did before. So I think it's you know, changing that mindset that you have. And for me, it was certainly, instead of being angry about what God gave me in my physicality, to say, okay, well, I'm lucky to have certain aspects of my physicality, and how do I work with those things in order to be, again, close that gap between who I feel like I am or should be and who I actually am physically.
So it really isn't just about the body. It's about the mind. It's about how you perceive yourself.
Absolutely. And you know, again, it's, do you love yourself or do you hate yourself? Are you at war with and I was at war with myself for most of my life, and I'm not anymore. And my body has responded in such a positive way. It's almost kind of, you treat yourself with love, and then that is what you get back. When you treat yourself with hate, which is what I did, that's what I got back.
That cause and effect, you know, what you put out, you get back. And that's the energy that
you're talking about. Now, what advice? Yes. Now, what advice would both of you have to give to anyone going through similar situations? You know, if you're a child, if you're a young person with a weight issue, and if you're an adult with a weight problem right now. What are some words of advice?
Katie, why don't you answer that one?
Okay. I think the first one is try and understand why you're eating what you're eating. Because if it's not about nutrition, it's about something else. What is the something else? And you know what? It may take a while, years, to figure that out. Get on the journey and try and start figuring out, is it how you feel about your mother, how you feel about your father, or how somebody treated you, or what somebody told you when you were a kid, or whatever it might be. That's the work that we have to do in order to move through the process. And so I think that's the first thing, is try and understand where that's coming from and what does food mean to you. And then the other is, appreciate what you have been given from a physical standpoint, the body that you've been given, what it's really good at. You know, so many people are ill, and if you have a healthy body, other than how you've manifested ill health as a result of eating too much, then it's time to kind of reconcile that and be kind to yourself. And in a loving way, say, you know, I do have a system that works if I can work with it instead of against it. Those are probably two things that are maybe the foundational pieces, and so much other wonderful things happen along the journey, but those two things, I think, have to happen to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Very well said.
Parker?
Yes?
No, I just wanted to get your feedback on what you had to say about that.
Well, I think with exactly what Penny was saying, you know, I agree with that completely. I think there's a lot of people are going through issues, and they deal with issues in their lives in certain ways, and some people eat and some people don't eat, you know, things like that. When I'm stressed out, I don't eat, you know. So if I'm really thin, then I'm probably stressed out. You know, it's kind of an indicator for me. But I think people deal with it in a very different way. I think people have to look at it and not, there's no cookie-cutter answer or solution. You know, I think Penny hit on the head a lot. You know, you got to listen to what your body's saying. You know, if I need broccoli today or whatever it may be. But I really feel that most people need to just listen to their body, listen to their inner thoughts, know what's really going on, because nobody knows. Like I said earlier, we give our power away by going to external factors. All the answers are within, but we have to listen. And there's so much chaos and so much noise in the outside world, we're not listening. And I think that's the first thing, is you've got to, you know, listen to those thoughts in your head of what people are really saying, you know, what your body's telling you and what those voices are saying, what you need. Because if we listen, you know, just be still and listen, I think we can get a lot of answers that way. And there's, you know, what worked for me or worked for Penny or someone else may not work for someone else that's listening. You got to figure out what works for you, because there is no one-stop solution, you know, for that. So I think listening is very key.
Well, great. This has been just a fantastic show. I think it's going to really, really impact a lot of people out there listening who, I mean, if you look at the statistics, I think here in the U.S., the weight issue is something that is a problem, and I don't think anyone can deny that now. But I'd like to thank both of you for being on the show today, for sharing your, you know, your personal stories, and I want to let the viewers out, the listeners out there know that if they have any further questions, they can write us here at artofimagetalk@gmail.com, and certainly they can get a hold of you, Parker, for any questions related to their personal image. And if you'd like to, go ahead and give them your telephone numbers.
Okay. My office number is 678-705-2366, or they can just email me directly to parker@shuvagroup.com, and that's CHUVA group.com. And if we get a lot of, questions, maybe we can do another show on it.
That'd be wonderful.
All
right.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Thanks again for... You're welcome. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Dan Phillips.